Here's a billion-dollar question. What are the ingredients of a really effective TV commercial, the kind that gets us wanting things and spending money?
On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh.
Pardon me, would you have any Grey Poupon?
You're the Pepsi generation.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
He likes it. Hey, Mikey.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
It's part art for sure and has long been part science, but that science part is getting bigger and is reaching far beyond consumer surveys. Scientists at Temple University say the best way to predict how successful a commercial will be lies deep within the viewer's brain. Todd Bookman has more.
The traditional way to develop a commercial often goes like this.
You would go to a creative agency. You will ask them to make like 4 or 5 different commercials for you. You would get a group of people either in a focus group or recruit like 100 to 200 participants to come down to a lab.
This is Vinod Venkatraman, a professor at Temple University. He says you bring in a bunch of people, you play them the commercials.
Then you'll ask them questions like, did you like this commercial? Was it relevant for the product that's featured in the commercial? And then sometimes you call them a day after and you say, what do you remember about the commercial that you just saw?
The answers to all those questions get tabulated and a winner is selected. But the problem is, the responses in a focus group are not always the best predictor of what will actually work. People sitting around a conference table behave differently than they do in the outside world. So for Venkatraman and his colleague at Temple,
Angelica Dimoka, I'm an associate professor of marketing.
For them, the idea was, let's figure out the best way to predict how good or bad a commercial will be. And to do that, they brought in 300 willing participants and had them watch more than 30 advertisements. And while they're watching, the researchers ran a battery of tests.
Eye tracking, skin conductance, heart rate, breathing.
Plus traditional Q&A sessions like you'd have in a focus group, and something called implicit testing, which has participants select between options. And two more.
fMRI, that stands for functional magnetic resonance imaging, and EEG, that stands for and it's a Greek word, and I'm Greek, and I cannot say it. EEG stands for electroencephalography.
To do the EEG scan, you wear what looks like a hairnet dotted with electrodes. It gives a reading on the electrical activity in your head. The fMRI machine is like other MRIs that you may get on a bad ankle or knee, except this one is able to look at blood flow within different areas of the brain. So the researchers run all these different tests, and then they compare their results with sales data. Since these were actual commercials, the companies knew which ones led to a spike in sales, the definition here for a good ad. And the winning test?
A brain area that was able, that we were able to capture using fMRI was the most predictive of the advertising success.
The specific area is called the ventral striatum, and it was head and shoulders above the other measures at recognizing successful ads. When a good one came on the screen, it would light up with activity.
That brain area could double the prediction that was given to us by the traditional self-reported measures of how well this commercial performed.
And it turns out the researchers knew to keep an eye on this thing.
It's well known because of its role in reward processing. It's like one of the main reward centers in the brain.
The ventral striatum is part of the circuitry that reacts to lots of different positive stimuli. It's like a bell that rings whenever something good happens.
Things ranging from looking at attractive faces to eating chocolates to getting monetary rewards, all of them consistently activate this region.
So the idea here is that a good ad somehow fires up this brain process too, telling the body that whatever it is for sale, it will be nice, pleasant.
So when this part of the brain is activated, that means something pushes you to feel that you will get rewarded by using the product.
And that, right there, is how you sell things. If marketers can test their commercials with more accuracy, figure out which ones turn on the ventral striatum, they can weed out the duds and only air the good ones. Here's a concern, though. While it probably isn't so bad to have, I don't know, broccoli ads sell more broccoli, what about sugary cereals, better targeting kids, or politicians swaying the vote with better spots? Is it really such a good thing to let marketers have access to the buy button in our brains?
I hate the buy button. I mean, there is no such thing as the buy button. My God. Yeah.
This is Carolyn Yoon, a noted neuromarketing researcher at the University of Michigan. Yes, there appears to be a connection between the ventral striatum and a feeling of desire, but she says the brain is far too complex to be whittled down to a series of buttons and levers. There's a lot more that goes into getting someone to make a purchase than just tickling this one subconscious sensor. But she says the industry is paying attention.
I think eventually this will just become kind of, you know, a part of the portfolio of different methods that, you know, marketers use.
Better ads through better testing. Ready for more of this?
What's that? With that.
Hold on. Hello?
For The Pulse, I'm Todd Bookman.